Well, a very warm welcome again. I've been challenged this morning. I've been challenged by two things. Well, more than two things, but two things I'll share with you. I've been challenged by a simple photograph of a hand in a hand. I don't know if you'll be able to resonate with this. And I've been challenged by a child coming down to the front. And what went through my mind, and I'll do the human bit, and then let's see what the Lord does and allow him to do the spiritual bit. The human bit was this. We have a choice, don't we? There's a child standing there in all innocence and faithfulness. We can either go, this isn't for you, your bit is after the service, or you are the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. Yeah? And the other thing that struck me was, and this is Emma's fault, is that the whole image of father in a comfortable chair and calling us. Now, not everybody had the same experience. I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but I never had comfort when I was a child. I never had a hug that I can remember. I never had that warm embrace, or I never jumped off the staircase. I think my mum would have let me fall. However... my spiritual father treats me differently to my natural father. So when we look at life, there's the good, the bad, and the indifferent, isn't there? And what struck me today was, and I'm going to read out the portion of scripture that I got here, but I'm going to change the message and bring it in line with what I believe is happening and what the Lord wants to happen this morning. It's this. You know, I'm going to say more than what I normally do, because normally I just read scripture. But I'm going to say more because I haven't prepared this, and I'm just going to see what the Lord says as it unfolds, okay? When you have a football, it comes flat, and you pump it up, yes? But over the course of time, that football deflates. And if I put that analogy into us as individuals, there's times where we can pump ourselves up. You know, we can come to a church service like this or any other service, and we can go, I need to act a certain way because it's expected of me, because I am victorious. Is that true? I am more than a conqueror. Yes. So I need to show everyone around me that I'm inflated, that when it comes to worship, I'm worshiping the Lord, and inside that you're actually going down slowly. And I think some people, it may be just one, just needs to be pumped up in the right sense. They need that, as the advert says, the hug in a mug. They need that soft embrace from a heavenly father. I believe that person or persons need to know that as they run towards the father, he will not turn his back, that he's there to catch you. As you jump, he'll be there. As you blurt out all the good, the bad, and the indifferent in your life, as you say, God, but it's not fair, or Lord, but you don't understand, he's there to catch you. He's there to give you that embrace. So I'm going to read this portion of scripture out, and we'll see where it goes. This is what I was going to minister on today, is when Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So we can digress from what I was going to share, and we can use this in a different sense. That I believe, as I look around this room, we are Christians. We are in Christ's kingdom, all of us. And if you're not, today is the day of salvation. So I'm not going to rule you out. It's just that on first appearance, it looks as if we are kingdom dwellers. We are kingdom people. We are children of God. But today is the day that you can be if you're not. But for those of us that are, this should be true. Can we say the same thing? I am not ashamed of the gospel. And there's times in my life, and maybe there's times in your life, where you're in a situation and you know you don't want to mention Jesus. You don't, because you know it's going to cause a problem. Are we ashamed of the gospel? If we truly understand what the gospel is, if we truly understand what it's done for us, then the answer will be no, we're not ashamed of the gospel. I'll share next week on what I was going to share this week. And you look at Paul's life, and it's a twisted life. It's a life full of pain and joy at the same time, if that's possible. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation. Salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing. When you think about salvation, it's not about what we've done. It's what he's done. It's not about what we can do, it's what he can do through us, yes? So when we think about salvation, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation. So that power, that word is like a dynamis, it's a dynamite. That's where you get the word dynamite from, dunamis. It's an explosion. The Bible says the same power, the same dynamite power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. So if you need that hug and a mug, if you need that reassurance that your Saviour lives, that doesn't matter what you do, he's not going to take his hand out of yours. You might at times take your hand out of his, but it's going to be stretched out. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that he'll never leave me or forsake me. See, I have a choice. When we speak to non-Christians, you know, there is nobody on this earth that God will send to hell. We choose to go. Because the Bible says, through the power of salvation, through the power of his gospel word, that he lays before you and me life and death. Choose life. So we're here because he's chosen us. He loved us first, and then we showed our love back to him. Yet while we were still sinners, the Bible says, he died for us. And that's the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says this: God brings salvation to everyone who believes. So do you believe? Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you believe that Jesus has done what he says he has done? Yeah? Well, this is for you. So wherever you are today, if you are feeling, and I might have this wrong, but if it's just for one, then it's good, isn't it? Because when we look at the parables of the sheep, one was lost, one went astray. The whole story there was that one was important. And sometimes when we're in a crowd, sometimes some people feel lonely. I've been one of those people that I've been a crowd of people, yet I've felt isolated and insular. Well, that's not like that in the kingdom. It shouldn't be like that in the kingdom. And if you are feeling isolated and insular, it's because the enemy, going from last week, is trying to sift you. God prunes, but the enemy sifts. And he tries to shake you out of that point of reassurance. And the reassurance is this: my Redeemer lives. If he lives, I live. If he was raised from the dead, I'm raised from the dead. There is a hope, an eternal salvation. Paul says that in some of his writings, that I haven't attained fully what it is I'm preaching, but I have a hope, I have a trust in what my Saviour has done for me. And it's the same for you. Whoever believes, first to the Jew and then the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. So the righteousness of God, it's a right standing with him. Is that understandable? We have a right standing with him. But it's not because you've earned it. It's because you've received it. And sometimes as children of God, sometimes we can be made to feel that if we've done something and our conscience is pricked, if we know that we've missed the mark, if we know that we've disappointed our Saviour, sometimes at that point, we start to condemn ourselves. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There'll be conviction. I'm not saying that when we do things, we won't feel the effects of that. Conviction is different to condemnation. Condemnation will send us away from God. Conviction will draw us close to him through the grace that he's poured out and lavished upon us. So for us as Christians, and I'm talking to the church now, if you're feeling a bit isolated and a bit insular, and you're feeling, you know, it's almost as if the reverse has happened to what you've just said, Andrew. There's a pump you can get that you can pump up something, and you can inflate it and deflate it with the same pump. If you've got it in reverse and you're doing this or you're doing this, you think you're pumping it up, you're actually pulling the air out instead of putting the air in. And sometimes for us, sorry to mix my metaphors, but sometimes for us, that we're putting out, and actually we're taking out and not putting out. We're not putting in, we're taking out. And sometimes we may feel, and that one person, two people, maybe more in the room today, might be feeling that no matter what I do, I don't feel inflated, I feel deflated. Here's the good news. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. Faith tells us that you are precious, that you belong to Him, that you are justified. We've used Joshua's been used as a young man. Emma wouldn't want to catch him now, that's for certain. As a young man who would jump off of the top of the stairs, knowing that his mum will catch him. Yeah? I had the opportunity to work with Joshua some time ago with his dad around his grandmother's. And he would say this to me. He would say, "You know, sometimes, Andrew, I meet people and they're Christians and they try and pull me down. But I remember what you say. And I'll tell them, listen, I'm not perfect, but I'm justified, sanctified, set apart, going from glory to glory. I'm part of the royal priesthood. I'm adopted into His family. I'm a child of the living God." Now, that might sound as if it's boastful, but we boast in the Lord, don't we? Because that's who you are. So if you're feeling deflated, then turn that around and start to be inflated. Start to realize that it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It's about what Scripture says about you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. What, me? Yes, you. Yeah, but you don't. Yeah, I don't need to. We don't need to know what you've done this week. We don't need to know what you're thinking right now. God knows. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So there's an opportunity for us to be silent and ask for wisdom and say, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit." But the basis of this message is simply by looking at that picture of the hand coming down, keep our hand in His and you'll be safe. You'll be safe. Come, the Bible says, all those that are weary and heavy laden, come. Right? You don't come to me. You don't come to a building. You don't come to a process. You don't come to an organization. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Well, where are you? You may ask. Do you know where He is? He's in you. He's in you. Because the Bible says that when we're born again of His Spirit, He comes to inhabit us. Yes? Is that true? That's true. But we don't feel Him all the time. But He's there. And our responsibility, I believe, and the opportunity that we have today is just to recognize that. That you're there. My hand is in your hand. That you're there. When I come, you won't push me away. When I want to sit and soak, you're there. And what happens in our lives, and I suggest this, what happens in our lives so often is we don't feel good enough. Well, we're not. That's the bad news. But in Christ we are. That's the good news. That's why it's important. When Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," he's just not talking about something that he's pulled out of thin air. It's something that was revealed to him by fire. It's something that was revealed to him, and he went from darkness into light. And that's what happened to me and you. And what happens is we're all born with this innate realization that there is something bigger than us. That doesn't matter. I don't care if someone is an atheist. They say they don't believe in a God. When you look around you, you have to see there's something bigger than you. And we all know that. But when that spirit of truth comes and ignites that empty space within our lives, suddenly there's a revelation. Suddenly there's a now moment. But after that has all died and faded away, it's when the enemy comes to say, "Did God really say?" So for that person or persons in the room today who are feeling, "Yeah, I feel a bit isolated," you're not. You're part of a family. Sorry to say, this is your family. The good, the bad, and the good, the bad, and the really good. You know, we're part of the family of God. And when you go to another part of the world and you go into a church where there are true believers, they're part of your family too. Where there's a church down the road and you might not get on with someone, they're part of your family too. God loves them the same as He loves you. So I want to continue in this portion of scripture. The gospel of righteousness, the righteousness of God, is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. So when we look, if you know your scripture, you know your Old Testament, we cannot attain a right standing with God through the law, because we're going to fail. But Jesus became the fulfillment of the law. So when we say righteousness by faith, it's faith in what he has done and accomplished for us. You see, he's paved the way so that you can walk on a straight street. If there's a chasm, he's already put the pathway across that chasm. There's a bridge. It's him. Christ bridges man and God. He becomes the bridge so you can walk across. However you look at this, it may sound poetic, but there's truth in what I'm saying. Jesus becomes the bridge for you to walk from a human existence to a spiritual one. That you have access to God through Christ Jesus. There's a righteousness, a right standing, not because of how good you or I am, but what he's accomplished for us. And the faith is this, that Lord, even though I fail you, even though I get things wrong, you know my heart. I can say this about my parents. I've acknowledged that I can't remember ever having a hug or a well done or I love you. But I know this. What I do know about my father, he suffered with mental illness. He had a brain tumour. He would be good dad one day and want to kill everybody the next day, literally. But I can say this. When he was good dad, if anyone touched his children, they had to go through him. They had to go through him. You see, when the Bible says the fear of the Lord, and it tells us to be fearful of the Lord, it's like this, and I've said this before. It's like, imagine, when you look at the word fear, it can be translated awe. It can be translated into many different forms. But in the English, when we say fear, it's almost like you have to be afraid of it. Well, we need to be afraid of fire, don't we? There's a fire. Oh, I'll go put my hand in it. No, stay away. Be fearful of that. There's a chasm. I'll go walk in it. No, be fearful of that. If you imagine yourself walking into a supermarket with your parent and they're holding your hand as a three-year-old. Just imagine when Petra came out and I took her hand and I'm leading her somewhere. And then all of a sudden, she takes her hand out of my hand and she wanders off. Imagine that is you as a child. You wander off. What will happen is it will be a game to start with. And then you'll look around thinking that mum or dad is going to come out and go, gotcha. And then all of a sudden, I suggest, fear will start to rise. You're not afraid of your mum and dad, are you? You're afraid you won't be able to find them. So when the Bible says the fear of the Lord, that's the fear we're talking about. Lord, don't hide your face from me. Lord, I want to feel your presence. Lord, I want to understand your word. Lord, I want to walk with you. That's the fear of the Lord. He doesn't cause us to be fearful of him. So much we hear in church life is hellfire and damnation. Now that's true. There is a heaven and there is a hell. I don't want to go to hell. But no one will go there unless they choose to go there. But when we listen to the gospel, when we look at Paul's life, when we take this and he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation, that nothing broken, nothing missing, the fullness of God. Listen, if you're unwell, in Christ we are healed, but our body's not caught up. In glory we will have a victorious body, won't we? No more suffering, no more tears, no more pain. The power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So scripture where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Well, that's good news. That whoever, and you're the whoever, believes in him will have life and life in all its fullness. That's salvation. That's salvation. Nothing broken, nothing missing. When we look through scripture, we'll see there's a fullness of God. Not just one half, but a fullness. We look through scripture and there may be a question asked, and then the Lord will answer it. He doesn't leave us as orphans. He doesn't leave us on our own to fend for ourselves. He doesn't leave us in the dark without the light, does he? So that's good news. I say all of that to say to us, and maybe that one or two people in the room today that are feeling deflated, then I hope you're starting to feel a bit more inflated because God chooses you. This is a good thought, isn't it? I choose you, he says. I choose you. Illustration, done this before, but for anyone who hasn't heard it, I had a sad childhood. I was good at nothing. Honestly, I was good at nothing. I used to be really... I never read a book in my entire life before I'd become a Christian and read the Bible. I couldn't speak in public. There's a joke. Girls scared the hell out of me. They would come up and say whatever they would say, I would be petrified. They'd knock on my door. There'd be six of them outside going, can Andrew come out to play? I'm not here, Mum. They would scare me. I was one of them timid kids. Had glasses, couldn't see, dyslexic, misunderstood. And whenever there was a football match, I never got picked. Until they had to, because I was the last one. But listen, if you're feeling like that, God chooses you. He chooses you. The Bible says that the Lord chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. Now, I'm not saying that we're fools, but what I am saying is this, that in our weakness and our insecurities, because it doesn't matter how old you are, how tall you are, how wealthy you are, how wise you are, we all have insecurities. You know, when we talk about equality, we serve an equal God. We're all sinners, aren't we? But we all have that opportunity to find salvation. And God chooses you. So if you are that person, or if I'm talking to myself, God chooses me. He chooses you. It doesn't matter what you feel. Rely on faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. See, he doesn't leave you on your own. And when we talk about that, that thing about the orphan, he adopts us. When he adopts you, you have the right of the firstborn son. If we have anyone who's been adopted in this room, you are not a second thought. In actual fact, you should feel privileged because you was chosen. You was chosen. A natural daughter, a natural son, they didn't choose their parents. But when we're adopted, the parents choose us. So God chose you. Just think about that. When you're feeling deflated, allow God to pump you up. Yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. And it brings salvation to me, to everyone who believes. Lord, I believe. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Those that have been redeemed, that's me and you. Those that have a right standing with God, that's me and you. Those that have confessed, Lord, I am a sinner, bring salvation into my life. Lord, I don't want to live my life my way, but I want to live it your way. Lord, I want to follow you. And then from that point, there's a righteousness that comes to dwell within us that will convince us that we are sinful people, but we are to walk with our head up. Because he lives, we also live. Because he overcome, he makes us overcomers. That's the truth of the gospel. It goes on to say, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now, I'm not going to go into that today because we've been redeemed, but we do have wicked thoughts. We've been redeemed, but we do stray at times. We've been redeemed, but we do disappoint at times. We've been redeemed. But you know what? As a Christian, as a child of God, man, woman, and child, there's always a way back. Repent? I forgive. There's always a way back. That's why Paul can say that the gospel is powerful. That's why Paul can say that I don't live by sight. I don't live by just what I see. See, Paul was a very eloquent individual. He wasn't a very handsome man, if you look through scripture. He wasn't a very good-looking person, but he would say of himself, if anyone can boast, it's me. I'm a scholar. I'm a Jew. I've kept the law. I'm faultless. But I class all that as nothing, as dung, before what God has given me, what he's revealed to me, the life that he's enabled me to live, the light that he's shone on the darkness. So I say all of this to remind you that you are a child of God. That if you have a circumstance or a situation, today is the day that God wants to encourage you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Do you know what? In scripture, when we read that, we don't wait until we're at the gates of heaven, if that's such a thing. That Gabriel is there going, Jill, okay, well done, good and faithful servant, enter. He says it now. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, because our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, is it? It's against powers and principalities. So when we're feeling human, is there anyone else that feels human at times when you come home from work? I won't tell you what Bernie said to me today. I just need to pray for him. Just need to pray for him. In fact, we just need to pray for Jill. He came in with a bad back, and I won't tell you, you know, he said, oh, it's because of the pressure of marriage. I did say I wouldn't, but I'm dyslexic. I can't remember what, that's why I have to speak from the heart. But the truth is this, you know, when we're feeling that we've disappointed God, you know, there's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. I know you've heard this, but I think today you need to hear it afresh. You see, when scripture says, I want to know God, I want to know him, that word to know isn't to know about, it's to have an intimacy, to know him, to be in union with him, to understand his heart for me. Because unless you understand his heart for you, you can't do what Paul does. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and preach it to other people. Because if you haven't got it, you can't give it. And what happens in life is we can find ourselves surrounded by a reverse pump. People, circumstances, situations that will just draw the joy out of our lives. We'll just suck the very life out of us until, like the balloon that you let go and is full of life, till it gets to the top and then it comes to the bottom with a crash. And that can be our lives if we start to look at ourselves. But I'm not, but I can't, but they did. But let's look at what the Bible says about us. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power that brings salvation. Nothing broken, nothing missing. That you are who God's called you to be. But I don't feel you are who God's called you to be. But you don't understand. You are who God's called you to be. But I can't. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. See, the Bible, one of my favourite scriptures is this. All the promises. Have you ever read all the promises? There's lots of promises that God gives us. All the promises are yes. But there's one more sentence that we need to have within our hearts. All the promises are yes, but the amen is spoken by us. You see, God says in scripture, I lay before you a table before your enemies. There's a banquet before your enemies. When you understand the Old Testament banquets and war, and they'd lead the captives would be led out, and there'd be a banquet, and they'd be made to watch the victors sharing the spoils. Well, God says, I lay a table before your enemies in my presence. Come and eat. Come and eat. So I'm actually going to conclude with this. I'm going to finish with this. You are who God's called you to be, regardless to how you feel. We have an opportunity. And I think it's the same truth that scripture lays out time and time again, that Jesus can say to you and I, even this morning, there I lay before you. I lay before you life and death. Choose life. You know, when the world sucks the life out of you, how do we become inflated, not deflated? By putting on that garment of praise. by saying, Lord, I am redeemed. By saying, Lord, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Father, I thank you that you died so that I may live. That's how we start to inflate. Do you think that people that we meet, Christians that we consider to be faithful and staunch believers, do we think that their lives have always been easy? It hasn't. Because they've been shaken by the enemy, they've been proved by the Lord. They are who they are because they've chosen to say, my life has been built on a rock, and when the wind and the waves come, I will not be shaken. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I'm justified, sanctified, set apart. I've been adopted into his family. See, you're victorious. You're more than a conqueror. And that's how we allow the Lord to breathe afresh in our lives, to inflate us, regardless to where we are. So you can be on your own and still feel surrounded by the love of God. That's a good thing, isn't it? See, I don't look at people when I preach because I stare. That's another one of my childhood things. I stare because of my eyesight. So can you imagine I'm talking about the sinful man and I'm looking at one person and everyone... I wasn't there, it wasn't me, I didn't touch it. God knows, doesn't he? He knows our hearts and he loves us still. He knows our thoughts, oh my goodness, and he loves us still. You see, you're not saved today and then you're condemned to hell tomorrow. It's a journey, isn't it? It's a lifestyle. You may fall, but he says, I'll help you up. I will finish. There's a scripture, it goes like this. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because your rod and your staff will comfort me. And the rod and the staff of the shepherd, it has a twofold. It's to correct, it's to fight off the enemy, and it's to save. The lamb falls down the creek, pulls it out. See, God says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there may be darkness all around you, but my rod and my staff will comfort you. And that gives us the implication that we will walk through a valley experience. And I say this on a regular basis. The Bible does not say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I pitch my tent, and I stay there, and I feel sorry for myself, and then I move. No, it doesn't say that. And I'm not being derogatory here when I say feel sorry for ourselves, because there's times where woe is me and happy is woe, and we're on that downward spiral. But today is where we say, no, no, I'm walking through. Because your rod and your staff will comfort me, will correct me, will direct me. The light of the love of the Lord will shine upon my feet as I walk through dark areas. The light of the love of the Lord will comfort me as I sit in his loving arms. The light of the love of the Lord will restore me, restore the areas that I feel that I have lacked in. The light of the love of the Lord will enable me to be the son and the daughter that you've created me to be. The light of the love of the Lord is never going to leave me, never forsake me. I'm going to let our worship team come and maybe bring a couple of hymns with us so that we can put into practice what maybe God has said to you. And if there is just one person, then this is for you. That's how much God loves you. He loves you enough to change a message so that you can be blessed. That's good, isn't it? He loves you enough to identify that you're struggling. He loves you enough to know that you don't need to put on a face for him. For me, going back to my childhood, I'm a strange individual. I was evenly balanced as a child. I had a chip on both shoulders. It was like I was arrogant and I used to fight with my mouth and I didn't back down from any fight whatsoever, which would get me in trouble. But you know what? It was because I was trying to become what I thought the world wanted me to become. But when God got hold of me, he softened me. I've never stopped crying since. He's been pliable in my life. So when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it isn't because he had a wonderful life. It wasn't because he had everything going for him. It wasn't because he'd never suffered. It was because he had an experience with the Saviour. He understood that he was a sinful man. And he understood that God loved him enough to pull him out of the fire. And that's the same for me and you, yeah? Let's pray and let's worship together. Father, we thank you that we are your children, we belong to you. We thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, regardless of what we feel. Our faith tells us that you want to bless us, encourage us, enable us. You want to breathe afresh upon this deflated vessel. So receive that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.